everyone. I was told I'm good to go. So my name is Christina Martinez. I'm a master's student at the University of Florida Fort Lauderdale campus with Dr. Moore. And today I'm going to talk to you about how we grew a Rex begonia variety called Looking Glass with saline irrigation water. So today I'm going to explain why we're studying this. Why are we growing plants with salt water to begin with? And I'm going to explain the two experiments that we conducted and the objectives of those experiments, the results, and what the take-home messages, what we learned were. So to answer the question as to why we're growing plants with salt water, I wanted to use South Florida as an example. We use water from the Biscayne Aquifer as our freshwater source to grow our containerized crops. And with overutilization of this well water from overpumping from agriculture and residential usage, we're really having issues with saltwater intrusion, especially in coastal areas. With sea level rise, with climate change, this is only going to continue to worsen. And we're already seeing this in some of our pumping stations. In addition, areas with extreme drought and limited freshwater sources, they may be transitioning to using reclaimed wastewater and other alternative sources. The issues with reclaimed wastewater are variable levels of salinity depending on season. Like, let's say in Florida, we have a defined wet and dry season. So during the dry season, we have very high levels of salts. And in the wet season, it's not quite as bad. But with wastewater, it's inexpensive, assuming that the infrastructure exists, and there's no limitations on how much you can use when there's periods of drought, so that's a great benefit. So what do we do now? How do we best grow crops with salt water? How do we balance this with our traditional irrigation and fertilization practices? How do we ameliorate the negative effects of salt stress? You can have issues with ion toxicities, with accumulations in the tissue where you'll have necrosis, you'll have decreased yield and stunting, and eventually you may lose your crops if you don't know how to act properly. So the objective of our research was to grow Rex begonia, looking glass begonia specifically, with saline irrigation water from different sources and at different volumes, and to monitor their growth and quality and see which were the best performers and which were the worst, and maybe figure out why that's the case. So we chose begonia specifically because they're a common ornamental crop, and they tend to be salt sensitive, so they'll definitely display the effects of salt stress better than a more tolerant crop. So these are the seven solutions that we tested. The baseline was the wastewater that we collected from a Hollywood reclamation facility, which is very close to the ocean down in South Florida. And the electrical conductivity here was about 6, so we used that to come up with our other solutions to match the electrical conductivity. So we used Jack's 10-30-20 fertilizer at 6 grams per liter for the liquid fertilizer solution. We use sea salt for our sodium chloride treatment at 1 gram per liter, and then we use deionized water as our control. We decided to do a dilution of these solutions to look at the different rates, and they're a 50% dilution just with deionized water, so everything's at half strength. So these are how the two experiments that we conducted were set up. The first one uses those seven solutions that I showed you in the previous slide at the same volume, which is 250 milliliters per irrigation 3 times per week. The second experiment used the 4 full-strength solutions, so no dilution there, and we irrigated them at 1 of 3 different volumes, which was simulate different leaching fractions. So we used either 100 milliliters, 250 milliliters, or 350 milliliters. And these plants were grown in a complete random design. They were in 1-gallon pots with a Metro Mix, which is a peat perlite mix with a composted bark, and we incorporated 5 grams of Osmocote plus a 9-month fertilizer into all the plants. So on the right, you'll see a picture of the plants from the first experiment, which is the one where they were all irrigated at 250 milliliters, so same leaching fraction for all of them, but with the different solutions at the two dilutions. On the left side, there's the graph showing the shoot dry weights at time of harvest, and I highlighted the half-strength fertilizer in the center for having the highest shoot dry weight, and the salt strength, the full-strength salt sink salt solution had the lowest shoot dry weight. And to help answer, you know, why this was the case, why these were the best and worst performers in terms of biomass and general aesthetic quality, we looked at the leachate. So here we did a pour through at the end of the trial, and I highlighted here the half strength and salt solutions yet again to really look at the numbers and figure out what's going on. And you'll see that, okay, maybe the salt had one of the highest electrical conductivities, so maybe that's it. But I don't know, maybe sodium might be a good contributor to the detriment of the plants irrigated with salt water. But you'll notice that the full-strength fertilizer solution also, they had high sodium as well, but those didn't look half bad. So perhaps it's a combination of the electrical conductivity, the sodium, and maybe, just maybe, the potassium has something to do with it. This is really suggesting that the potassium may have had something to do with offsetting the negative effects of the sodium in the soil solution. So this is the shoot dry weights from the second experiment where we were analyzing how the plants grew with different leaching fractions with the same solutions, the wastewater, salt water, liquid fertilizer, and deionized water. And across the board, it looks as if shoot dry weight definitely increased with the irrigation volume, and this is probably because the excess salts were leached out of the soil solution from the root zone. Interestingly, here the wastewater plants performed a little bit better than the fertilizer and salt plants, and I think it's because the fertilizer plants, they didn't receive that half-strength dilution, which performed as well in the first trial, so these were probably receiving too high of salts overall. So perhaps if we had done this with the half-strength fertilizer, they would have performed better in terms of biomass. So this is a picture just to display the visual quality, you know, the aesthetic quality of the plants at the end of the trial with the different leaching fractions. So the plants on the left side were the best performers, which were the control group with the deionized water and the wastewater plants. And those plants on the bottom, they seemed to be of saleable quality, which was very interesting. And our worst performers were on the right side, which were the plants irrigated with the salt water and the fertilizer, which you can see the stunting and the leaf tip necrosis from the salt damage. And here, just to simplify for the presentation, I averaged the values for all of the irrigation volumes just by solution, because there wasn't much of a difference between them. And you can see here that the plants with the salt, those were the worst performers, and they also had high electrical conductivities, high sodium, as with the previous experiment. And the wastewater plants, they were the best performers here. And we're guessing that the potassium may have had some effect here as well. So overall, we learned that the begonias grew best with the half-strength fertilizer with an EC of about 3, and that was with the 10-30-20 mix at 3 grams per liter, 3 times per week. We also learned that as you increase the irrigation volume, you increase your leaching fraction, you're improving biomass and general plant quality by leaching excess salts from the soil solution. We also learned that begonias can be grown safely using wastewater, which is a salt-sensitive crop
Yes?
Five, okay. I'm almost done. And it's also important as a grower to monitor your electrical conductivity and sodium levels in your irrigation water, whether it be from municipal sources, well water, or you're using reclaimed water. I'd like to thank the members of my committee, Dr. Moore, who's in the back. Hi. Dr. Pearson, who has another session going right now, and Dr. Shaddix, who's still in Fort Lauderdale. I also want to thank Lucy, our biologist. Hi, Lucy. And I'd like to thank you all for listening to my presentation. So thank you. We didn't see much of a difference in root dry weights amongst the treatments, which I found to be very interesting because I would have thought that the increased salts would have, you know, made the yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It elevates during dry season, but yes. We should also note that in South Florida, our dry season's in the winter, which is also our production season for a lot of our ornamentals and vegetables. So, yeah, so that's when we have the highest ECs in our wastewater. So it's a challenge. Anybody else? Yep. I'm so sorry. Well, let me see if I can go back. I just included the electrical conductivity, the sodium, and the potassium, but sodium is our biggest concern here. Yes. Yeah. But it wasn't quite as high as the liquid fertilizer. So you still have to supplement. That's why we added the granular controlled release to the soil mix.
Any idea
what
that nitrate
comes from? No. Just blame the tourists. As for tourists in Hawaii. Do we know? Was it primary or secondary treated water?
Tertiary.
Thank you, everyone.